This is a podcast from Minute Media.
The Windy City Podcast on the road. We are coming to you from David Kaplan at the Capman's Lake House today. Herb Howard, my guy, getting ready for training camp. We've got an Robert Quinn imitation coming. It's a fun episode. Cap jumping in, screaming about how bad the Bears are. I think you will enjoy this one, and thank you for being here for the Windy City Chicago Bears podcast with training camp right around the corner. So, big week for yours truly. Made national news with my interview with Andrew Wiggins. Huge fan of Wiggins, always have been. Loved him coming out of KU, and I thought the Minnesota Timberwolves were absolutely nuts. The Cleveland Cavaliers were nuts to trade Wiggins to Minnesota and the Timberwolves for Kevin Love. I thought that Wiggins, along with LeBron, along with Kyrie, that could have been a dynasty in Cleveland. And Wiggins finally getting a championship this year with the Warriors after a somewhat tumultuous road to get there. But more importantly, I asked him on the back end because he was one of the last guys to get vaccinated. And some people said, at least it was reported, that it brought the team together. So I'm like, hey, Wiggy, you know, you'd get in that that vaccine. Did that actually bring the Warriors team together on a whole nother level, which ended up with you guys winning a title and being oh so sweet and being the Celtics in the NBA Finals? And then he just shocked me, really, with his answer saying, I wish that I hadn't gotten vaccinated. You know, I'm happy that we won and all, but it wasn't my choice, and I still wish that I didn't put that stuff in my body. So, of course, that went pretty crazy, and I appreciate everyone who gave me attribution. And then there's guys like my guy down in Indianapolis doing a YouTube video for OutKick, and there is no love from Dan Dockich. Come on, Dan. I've been on your radio show, buddy. You want to twist and turn Wiggins' take into some political statement to try to inflame the masses? You could at least credit, hey, Mark Carmen of FanSided did a sweet interview with Andrew Wiggins where he talked about him being in Cleveland. Actually, I never watched that part. But yeah, I just saw these quotes about Wiggins and vaccines, and I'm going to use this to just scream about freedom and everything else and do what so many have done around the vaccine. I just would have liked a little attribution, that's all. You can have your vaccine takes. But, you know, just, hey, if I take something from one of your interviews, I'm crediting you. I think the Carm deserves the same treatment, Dan. That's all I'm asking for, and everyone else who did that. But thank you to Wiggy for being on. He was promoting Invisalign. See, Invisalign? I got your back, too. There you go. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to Andrew Wiggins. All right. Back to the Bears, back to Herb Howard, back to the lake house where Cap and I, he took me out on his pontoon boat. He made me some great brats. We had a burger. There was a cucumber salad. And then we talked Bears. The Windy City Chicago Bears podcast starts right now.
Showtime.
I got to tell you, I think we have the best endorsement for Justin Fields yet. That just came in today.
I saw it. I thought it was good. I was fair because it went through the negatives and it mentioned cautious optimism. And I thought they were all very, very good.
Yeah. So, okay. So there are two. Now the one that you're talking about was, which I sent to you and I have here for, I just thought a very interesting thread that credit to Sharp Clark at Sharp Clark NFL, and he does a 16-part thread, the upside case for Justin Fields, a thread on why I can't join the masses fading the Bears after watching every snap of his rookie season. Now, this was a very detailed, and you know, Sharp Clark, if you're watching DeWindy, I did not know about you until today. I am now one of your followers and appreciate your football knowledge. But basically what he did was the outline that, okay, Justin Fields is flat-footed, and in the pocket, and he's late, and it doesn't look good. In fact, it looks terrible. But the positive is when he's out of the pocket, he looks fantastic. And he shows that he can put balls where only wide receivers, tight ends can catch them, and that there is a skill set that can be built around with a good coaching staff. So I'm like, this is, I thought, a really excellent breakdown of what is possible if he is actually coached correctly. So I don't know. I know that you're on the train. You're riding the fields, choo-choo. But I thought
you're still on the platform.
Yeah, I am. But in training camp's coming up, good to see you, Candace. Thanks so much for jumping in here. He lays out two seasons that, you know, one elite quarterback and one not so elite quarterback had. Let's start with an elite quarterback, an MVP. In 2019, Lamar Jackson went 14-2. Okay, the Ravens went 14-2. He threw for 3,127 yards. He ran for 1,206, which was tops on the team, ahead of Mark Ingram, ahead of Gus Edwards. His leading receiver was Mark Edwards. The tight end was 64 catches, followed by Marquise Brown with 46. Not huge numbers from a wide receiver. And then if you're going to go he's not Lamar Jackson. Jalen Hurts last year, same deal, 9-8. Bears fans, I think we'd be happy if we got to 9-8. Hurts, 3,100 yards passing, 784 rushing. Again, the same formula, leading, you know, not a ton of yards, leading rusher on the team, ahead of Mike Sanders, ahead of Jordan Howard. And his best receiver caught 64 balls, Devontae Smith. And then you had Dallas Goedert. So, and they were 9-8. So better defenses, sure, but I thought this was a decent layout. Lamar Jackson wasn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes throwing the football. They had a formula for how to win. I don't know if Luke Getsy can do this, but I'm starting to get excited here, Herb. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to win football games, Carm. There just is, and everybody doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't have to be. I know we have this idea in our mind of what a starting quarterback in the NFL should look like, and what his footwork should look like, and what his throwing motion should look like. And anytime somebody deviates from that, they have an elongated throwing motion. I understand the pros and the cons of all those things. I get it. What I'm saying is you can still win games even if your quarterback isn't Peyton Manning-esque or Tom Brady-esque. You just have to understand what he does well and then allow him to do those things. And those things may require less of a supporting cast than your prototypical quarterback, because they can create, because they can make plays on their own with their feet. And for whatever reason, they seem to be much more comfortable throwing on the run. Some of those throws that Justin made on the run were absolutely ridiculous throws, across the body, back, like ridiculous throws. And if that's where he throws best, then get him out of the pocket and let him do it.
Right, and this does not – it's not rocket science. This is what he does best. So you would think that – I mean, Luke Getsy's not walking around Lake Forest right now thinking, well, how the hell are we going to use this guy? No, this is exactly how we're going to use this guy. This is what he does best. We're going to build off of that. And by the way, I want the Bears to win football games. That would make for a fun season. It would suck if field sucks and the defense sucks and they win no games. But then, okay, fine, you're gonna have a really high draft pick and a ton of money, so that would be interesting. But the bigger deal to me is figuring out how he's going to play and be successful, not just this coming year, but going forward. Like having an actual formula where when his head hits the pillow at night, he knows that these guys understand me, they're gonna get the best out of me, and this is where I feel comfortable and how I can go from here and get to whatever my capabilities are in the NFL. So it's not just about winning games this year. It's just about him getting him comfortable, period.
It's about getting him acclimated into the way that he has to be for the Bears to be successful. And again, that can look any one of a myriad of ways, and it's fine. It does not have to look the same as every other quarterback. It can look completely different. It can look similar to the examples that you just gave. Like, it can be whatever it takes to win games. And you just put him in that system and let him do it. And so if he's going to be booting outside, it's going to be a lot of play action, all those types of things, cool. Let him do those things, and you can still win games that way. You can still keep the chains moving, which is all the Bears need to be able to do. But if they establish that this year, even if you're talking about 9 wins as a ceiling for the Bears, which I certainly think is the ceiling for the Bears this year, if you establish this is how we can win football games and Justin gets really, really comfortable in it, and then he comes back year two and gets his system, now you've got something that you can really build with and work on.
Yeah, so I'm putting up some of the clips here. I'm looking for exactly the one that I want here. There's one. Oh, okay. This was an interesting one. Finally, his poor mechanics led to inaccuracy from the pocket. He had the second highest bad throw percentage on the season. It's hard to throw consistently with good timing when receivers are moving, and so he missed a lot of easy throws. I think people kind of forget that part. But then he gets to eventually this one. When he can roll out and shrink the field, good things happen. Look at him straight up beat Nick Bosa to the edge. I don't have the video for you, but here you go. You can see there's Bosa, there's Fields, at the 40-yard line. He's about to beat him. And then he writes, that's Nick Bosa, and he made him look slow. Like that just popped for me. Like, okay, there's an elite dude. He's beating him to the short side of the field. He's picking up a 10, 15 yards. And the offense all of a sudden looks a whole lot better. And how much were we screaming last year? Get him out of the pocket. Get him out of the pocket. And they just didn't do it. So, I mean,
if you got a Ferrari, you drive it like a Ferrari, right? It doesn't have to be a minivan. Shout out to minivans. They're safe. You can fit a lot of people in them. Gets us where we're going. It's all good, right? It's not nearly as dangerous as a Ferrari. But if you have the Ferrari, don't try to put 6 soccer players in the back and drive 40 miles an hour at 10-2.
Right, and he might not be a Ferrari. He might be a Miata. He might be an old school Toyota Celica. But still, you don't drive the Celica like the minivan. I love a shout out to minivans. Actually, no shout out to minivans. Minivans are terrible.
Oh my God, I drove one in high school, man. I was supposed to have a Monte Carlo. Like my brother had a Monte Carlo, and so my brother went to go to college. He couldn't take his car his first year. I'm like, I get to drive the MC to school every day. My mom wrecked the MC while I was still on my permit. I'm like, why did you? And then I was stuck with the minivan.
It got you around, but it's
not the same. It's not the same as a Monte Carlo. It did have its perks, though. That's all we'll say about that.
Yeah, I was going to say there are some options with the minivan that could have been great for a young Herb Howard. We don't have to talk about that today, but congratulations, because you just alluded to it. I'm very proud of you. I was not doing that in my high school career with a minivan or anything. But, you know, it got a little better at college. You know, we turned it around at Iowa. Thank you. Thank you, Hawkeyes.
There we go.
All right, I want to give you what I thought was a great quote from our former Bear, the dude who came to rescue us last year, Jason Peters, off his fishing boat. He was on Sirius XM NFL. He's talking about Fields, and he says this: once he gets the offensive line set, that guy is going to be special. He can throw, he can run, he can make all the plays he needs to make. So what I love about that from Peters, he's not on the team anymore. Right. He doesn't need to be saying nice things. Right. So when you've got different dudes who are wanting to move up the depth chart, saying that he's the GOAT on Instagram, offensive lineman Davenport, you know, that doesn't ring as true as a vet who's gone and doesn't have much. You know, he could easily said he's got a chance to be really good. That's not what he said. He went right. A lot further than that. So I thought, Jason Peters, I like what you're doing.
And this is a guy who's seen a lot of football. This is a guy who's seen a lot of football, a lot of different quarterbacks. He knows what he's talking about. And think that his ceiling is that high, and like you said, he could have just casually said, you know, I think the kid's got talent, and I'm excited to see what comes. He was like, no, he's going to be special. Like, to me, that means something from a probable future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I buy it too. Like, look, he can make all the plays. And his pocket stuff. I'd like to think. Let's be optimistic here, but it can get better, right? That's not something that you can't teach some dude that. Hey, beat Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa off the edge here. Just go do that. You're not teaching that. Hey, man, be more on your tiptoes. Be quicker. All that stuff. You can do that. So I really,
yeah,
I don't want to go too far.
That stuff just kind of, just kind of watching him. He was like so flat footed, and I think some of that was them just kind of taking and making away from him. And so you talk about him not scanning the field and he's not moving targets. I don't think they want him to. I think they were like, hey, one read, snap, throw it. One read, snap, throw it. And I think that as he goes through his progressions, it'll just kind of naturally happen where he's kind of up on his toes, patting his feet more, skip field, moving people with his eyes, those types of things. I'm not off the hook. I'm on the record. I think he's going to be good. But I'm not going to let him off the hook. He did do a lot of things bad, but I saw so many tools that he has that should allow him to be really, really, really good.
Yeah, and we apologize. Herb's going a little bit in and out here, but we're battling today. We're fingers crossing that we'll get all the good Herb out there. And you know, we appreciate you hanging in or jumping on in. Patterson is no longer vested. Strong words. I think you mean Peters, but Patterson's the same thing. Love you. Where goes one? Thank you for being a part of DeWindy City Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Training camp right around the corner. Any training camp battles that are most interesting for you, Herb? I think, you know, everyone's going to have a strong look at the offensive line. How is this going to go down? Who the hell is going to be protecting Justin Fields? And look, Larry Bourne, Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, all eyes on you all three, rookie slash second-year player slash second-year player who barely played, also really a rookie. To me, that's the biggest one.
Yeah, offensive line is number one. I want to find out what's going to happen at right guard, what they're going to do at the tackle spots, but also what happens at that nickel spot on the defense. That's going to be key. Who's going to come away and be that starting nickel, that 12th starter on the field for you? And I think that's going to be a really, really important battle. I think Thomas Graham probably gets the first crack at it, but I don't know that he actually goes ahead and wins it. I also want to see, you know, what happens with Kyler on the outside. How quickly does he settle into being your number two corner, and how confident are the Bears that he's going to go out there and play well at that position? What's he look like in the preseason? So those are a couple of positions I'm going to be looking for in addition to offensive line, right guard. But looking at the nickel spot and also the camp that Kyler Gordon has is going to be critical.
So I got there he is, Herbie.
Cap.
We got the cap, man. Let me take this up. Let's try to do this. Cappy, thank you for hosting us, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to have you here and have your show here. Yeah, Carm has been hanging at the lake all day.
I heard that, Cap. I heard you laid it out for him. I heard you threw some things on the grill. Y'all been hanging out having a good time.
Yeah, cooked some burgers, some brats. We took the boat out. Now we're going to go out and get a little custard. And then we'll turn him back out in the wild.
Yeah, this is, you can see the high tech here that we're doing here at Cappy Land. But what's Cappy? How many wins for the Bears? Let's go right now. What do you got?
4-13.
Ooh, Cap.
I mean, look, the over under 6.5. I would not play the over.
No, I feel on that. So I'm thinking six wins is their floor. I think that the coaching staff is going to understand enough in terms of what they can
do. You said six is the floor?
I think six is the minimum. I think nine is the ceiling for them. And I think it's predicated on the coaches just understanding what they have, not trying to make them do things that they can't do. Run the football, play the defense.
Look, I know everyone hates Matt Nagy. I get it. Matt Nagy, he's still a reasonably intelligent football mind. It's not like we grab some guy off the street and say, you want to coach an NFL team. There's no talent on this roster. So wait a minute. You let Mack, Goldman, Robinson, Trevathan, and I can keep going, and you added nobody. So how do you think you're going to be better?
I think you play better. I think you play the game better, like in terms of the game plan. I'm not saying that the roster got better. I'm not saying I am excited about anybody on their front offensive line or any of those receivers out wide. I'm not excited about none of that. But if the coaching staff understands that, runs the football, gets Justin Fields out of the pocket, plays a time control football game, they have an opportunity to pick up six wins. I think you'll beat the Lions twice. I think you'll beat the
Lions
Giants.
The Lions are going to finish second in the division.
You aren't the only – you're the second person that's told me that, too. I think both of y'all are crazy.
The division, and I think the Lions are the surprise team in the division. I really believe that.
See, everybody sleeps on my guy Kirk Cousins and his 33 touchdowns and his 7 interceptions last year. Everyone wants to jump up Detroit. I'm not ready to go there. You want to tell me that the Lions are going to be better than the Bears? I can hear you.
No chance. The Lions will be better than the Bears. Correct.
Clearly.
The Bears have picked a lane, and that's fine, but they've embraced the suck. If you do not pick in the top 10 next year, then this was an awful offseason. You did nothing to try. If you win 9 games and you did nothing to try and help your team, shame on them.
So if they do win 9, that's a bad thing still.
No. You're saying they could win 9 football games.
Yeah.
They made no moves to help their team. A 9-win team, if you actually invested in it in the offseason, might be an 11-win football team.
Hold on a second. All
right. I think this is a 3-14 to 6-11 max football team.
What about an Equanimeous St. Brown? What about a Byron Pringle? Talk to me about the draft in itself. Kyler Gordon coming in and making an instant impact, Cappy. I'm laying it out. Justin Fields in year 2. A Marcus Davenport. Brilliance of Ryan Pohl. Seeing a fifth-round guy who can step in and immediately be your left tackle. Now you get to move Borm to right tackle where he feels comfortable. Next thing you know, Tevin Jenkins with his short arms, he slides right into right guard. You've got a youthful offensive line. Middle of the season, they're cohesive and they're running the football. You go out and you make moves for N'Keal Harry. You pick him up for a seventh-round draft pick. Yeah, it doesn't look sexy, but he can block. So now you're running a little RPO situation. Fields is leading the team in rushing.
Bill Belichick is giving away N'Keal Harry for a seventh-round pick 2 years from now. He sucks. And Equanimeous St. Brown had the grand total of 0 touchdowns last year with Aaron Rodgers as the MVP, his quarterback. Stop yourself. And they let Devontae Adams go, and they didn't want to keep him. Stop!
You're upsetting. Where goes one? No. It's July 20th. We're at the lake house. We've got a beautiful pontoon boat out there. We've got a direction for the football team. We've got an easy schedule. Would you agree there? Very, very easy.
No,
you don't think the schedule's easy?
There is no such thing as an easy schedule. There isn't.
Agreed, but some are less tough than others. If you get the Giants, the Jets, the Lions twice, the Falcons.
Jets are going to beat the dog out of the Bears.
They are not.
They are. Would you like to make a side wager right now that the Bears lose both games in New York?
I'll take that bet.
I'll take that bet. I bet.
We'll get one. Let's go. We'll take down the Giants.
And I'm seeing these people. 8 wins. Where are 8 wins coming?
I'm pulling up Herb on the schedule.
They're going to lose to the Niners, 0-1. They're going to lose to the Packers, 0-2.
All right, I think we split the first 2 weeks. Let's go. Let's pull off a miracle. Trey Lance is going to come in here, and Justin Jones is going to eat him. I refuse to take on this negativity pill right now.
It's not negativity. It's being honest.
I don't think you're being negative just for negative sake. I think that I understand what you're saying. It's got a lot of merit. It logically makes sense. I'm just saying that if they play the game the right way, they can still find a way to win 6-9 games. And I'm looking at the Detroit Lions. We want to go through this? You say 0-2?
Go through the schedule. My phone's not working. I can't do it. Do you have
I got you. I got you. We got the 49ers week 1.
0-1.
I don't know about that.
I do know about that.
They should have beat San Francisco last year.
No, they got smoked in the fourth quarter.
No. When Justin Fields ran the 23-yard touchdown, you thought they were going to win.
You thought they were, and then the Niners pulled away. They're going to lose at Green Bay. They're 0-2.
Sure, they're going to lose at Green Bay. Okay, then the Houston Texans come to Chicago.
You don't think Lovie Smith is going to have his team so jacked to play?
No.
I'm not saying that Lovie's going to win.
Stanley.
I'm not telling you Lovie's going to win.
Stanley doesn't like this take, Cap.
That is no layup.
I'm telling you.
I agree with you.
No, hold on. The Houston Texans are
Stanley.
We're doing a podcast. We got it. You got to subscribe to DeWindy. I understand, buddy. I understand. You're okay. I know it's a pontoon boat. There's a pontoon boat out there, Cappy. You're a great dog. Let me give you a little.
I don't think Stanley likes Cap's take. That's all.
The Houston Texans are and the Atlanta Falcons are the two worst teams in football. We are beating the Houston Texans. Come on.
According to you guys, they're going into New York twice and winning. They're going to Atlanta.
I said once.
Winning.
One of the games. And I'll say another thing. Look, you cannot sit here in your house in Oshkosh and say that anything nice about Lovie. Lovie Smith is not somebody that we're going to – I'm not fearing Lovie coming in here. I refuse to fear Lovie. Come on.
I'm going to let you guys get back to your podcast. I'm just telling you, they're going to be awful.
So after Houston comes here and gets beat, Lovie motivated and all, then they go to New York, pick up one of those wins from the Giants. They go to Minnesota to see your boy, Kirk Cousins.
That's probably a lose there. Okay.
Then Washington comes in.
Let's see. Hold on. Am I back? Am I good? Am I here?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. That's the hill that we're climbing up against with some Bears fans. Not the diehards that come to this show or many other shows, but that right there is how most people I think are looking at the season, which is fine. That's cool. You can be pleasantly surprised when it comes rolling through, or whatever. We'll just all be in that spot, and we'll be like, okay, fine. They were terrible again, and we'll have a high draft pick and all the dough, and things will turn around. But I do think keep going through the schedule. Let's keep going. Minnesota, okay, go ahead.
All right, after Minnesota, week six, Washington comes to Chicago. The Commanders,
winnable. Keep going.
Yeah, it's winnable. Then you go out to New England, and then you'll have the two second-year quarterbacks headlining. I think that's a Monday night or Sunday night game.
Patriots are going to be terrible. Nobody on that defense is any good. Patriots are going to be terrible.
What did he say?
Oh, my God. I got an oh, my God from way back there. Hey, look, I'm not New England, I'll give you all the credit, Bill. You got to 10 wins last year. It ain't going to be this season. New England could easily finish last in that division. How's that?
I could see that. After they go from New England, week eight, they are at Dallas. Go out there to see the Cowboys. I never believe in the Cowboys. I think they're always beatable. Even when they have good teams, I think they're beatable.
I don't think we're beating Dallas. I actually like Dallas this year. But and Micah Parsons might – that could be
– Micah Parsons is legit. That
dude could be your NFL defensive player of the year right there. That's going to be very – that will be a tough one. But keep going.
They come back home, and the Dolphins come in week 9, November 6th. The Dolphins will be here.
Miami stinks. Tua stinks. Tyreek Hill's not saving that team. Winnable game. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like Tua. Then the next week, they stay at home. Detroit comes to town. I don't know why everybody's on this Detroit bandwagon. Like, they haven't been the Lions for 30 years. Like, it doesn't matter who they have. They've got arguably they've got one of the best running backs ever. Didn't matter. One of the best wide receivers ever. Didn't matter. Like, they have a win. Doesn't matter.
Look, I'll give Detroit a win. That's fine. We're splitting with Detroit. No problem. We split with Detroit. We split with Minnesota. We lose both games to Green Bay. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's
next week. We're in at week 11, November 20th in Atlanta. Falcons suck.
Worst team in football. Worst team in football.
Winnable game. They on the road week 12 to go see the Jets.
Winnable game.
Absolutely. Week 13, December 4th, Packers come to Soldier Field.
Lose.
Yeah. then they have their bye week 14. Week 15, December 18th, the Eagles come to Soldier Field. That's Winnable. Not a game I'm scared of. The following week, Buffalo comes to Soldier Field. They'll beat the Bears.
Get smoked.
Week 17. January 1, there's day they are in Detroit. I don't want to be Detroit for New Year's Eve. Gosh.
So we're battling for our seventh or eighth or ninth win there against the Lions last week of the season.
And then you close out again, Minnesota comes to Soldier Field.
Right. So, okay, listen. I don't care how – I really don't care how many games they win this year.
Doesn't matter.
All I care about is that the quarterback takes a massive step forward. However, when you look at the schedule, if he does that, and I mean, I'll be honest, like the defense is a major concern too. Who's getting to the quarterback? And by the way, do we think that Robert Quinn is coming to training camp?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I think he'll be there. I've been saying this since he's been holding out or whatever he's been doing, not showing up to mandatory workouts. I think that when it's time, he'll roll out of bed and come and he'll ball. Like, I don't think he's like trying to make a statement. I don't think he's really upset. I just don't think he cares that much. Like, yeah, I'll be there in a minute, man.
So when Robert Quinn gets asked at training camp, why didn't you come to mini camp? What do you think he says?
You know, I was just, you know, I know my body and, you know, I was getting myself ready and, you know, I've been through a few of these and, you know, I didn't feel like I missed out on anything. And, you know, it's time to ball. Here I am.
Robert, did you feel like you let your teammates down by not showing up at minicamp?
I mean, I hope not. You know, that wasn't my intention. Just trying to do what I got to do, get my body ready. I know my body, work on my back. You know, I'm here with the guys. They all welcome me back with open arms. Everything seems fine. So, you know, whatever.
My teammates know. Cap in the background, if you could hear, is like, no, I didn't want to be there because they don't want to play on this dead-ass team. That's not what Robert Quinn's going to say. He walked out the door. I think Rob's good. I think Rob literally – I completely agree. You think you let your teammates down? No, they knew where I stood. They knew I'd be there when it mattered, something along those lines.
Yeah.
My whole goal this year actually is to get to know Robert Quinn if the Bears don't trade him, which they still should, by the way. Nothing to do with him holding out or whatever he's doing, missing minicamp. Right. But if he is on the field, then that seemingly, I mean, will make the defense a whole lot better. But getting back to the original point, Justin Jones is holding down this three technique. Roquan is somehow going to be running free and making plays. Kyler Gordon stepping right in. Same thing with Jaquan Brisker. Great story on Brisker, by the way, at the Bears website and the Bears YouTube. So I'm talking about a guy that I'm rooting for. Jaquan would certainly one of them. But we're asking a lot defensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that for me, the biggest concern with them defensively is up front in the middle. I think Robert will be fine. I think Travis Gibson will take another step forward, and I think he'll be a significant contributor on that defense. They got to find somebody else to kind of be that third guy, and we'll see, you know, who can hop into that rotation. But the interior of that line scares me. I like, you know, some of the things they can do against the run, Kyrus Tonga and whatnot. But in terms of pushing the pocket or penetrating and making plays in the backfield, I don't know that we have that guy. If Justin Jones is supposed to be that guy, fine. But what I know about this defense is the three technique, he has to be a monster, not just a guy. He's got to be a stud. He's got to be Warren Sapp, Tommy Harris, Aaron Donald. Like, he's got to be a guy. And we don't have that. And so when you don't have that, and then you also have smaller, if not undersized linebackers, you need bodies to keep those guards off of Roquan Smith so that he can run around and make those plays. We're talking about the speed that they have at linebacker. That speed is not going to matter if you got 330 leaning on you as soon as the ball snaps. So I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, it's extremely concerning. And speaking of, when they did have guys in the middle who could play, there at one time Eddie Goldman could, but Eddie announcing on Tuesday that he's retiring, and basically all of Bears Twitter is saying that he retired 3 years ago and that he just simply did not want to play football, sat out 2020, and then tells the Falcons that he's out, 28 years old. Poles, by the way, saving the Bears $7 million when they cut him. So good on you, Ryan Poles. But I don't know what happened when you don't want to play football, you don't want to play football. And Eddie Goldman clearly did not want to play football. I don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes there, but just kind of an odd ending to a bizarre career.
Yeah, that's not something. Football is not something you can kind of do. You know what I mean? It's just it's too demanding. It's too taxing on the body for you to kind of do it. Either you're all in, you should probably get all out before you get yourself hurt. And I think that Eddie Goldman is just an example of somebody who happened to be good at football and maybe didn't love it. And that's okay, right? That's fine. He played. It got him through college. It got him a good start financially in life. Maybe, you know, hopefully he can take care of himself and make good decisions and be okay. I just don't think he was a guy who loved the game. He just happened to be really, really big and for a while, really, really good. Obviously one of the best players in high school, go to Florida State. Then you're a second-round draft. You're All-American. Like, so I think he happened to be really, really good, and he showed flashes of it as a Bear. Never really sustained it or made, like, huge game-changing impact plays. But I like him. I really did like him as a football player. Apparently, he just didn't like the game as much as we like watching him play.
So just to shout out my guys, Hamp and OB, I've been doing that post-game for 7 years on GN, and when I watch the game with them, they see things that most fans just don't see. And there was a period of time where Dan Hampton, who does not throw a lot of praise at a lot of players, you know, you got to earn that if it's coming out of his mouth towards you. He was all in, and so was OB on Goldman. They were loving what they were seeing from him. And then, like, you know, the last whatever, it's like, I don't know what happened to this dude. Like, it would, you know, just calling it out, like he's just getting his ass kicked out there. And last year, I guess he was just never healthy or whatever. But and I don't know how much we want to give credit to Ryan Poles, but these decisions are actually looking decent here. You let Goldman go, so you're not paying him any money. Bilal Nichols lands with the Raiders. He's on the physically unable to perform list. So that ain't great. Maybe he'll be okay at some point, but you know, that's certainly not what you want to hear going into training camp. And the other thing is, like, you know, I'm gonna miss Akeem, because Akeem was awesome. Tremendous personality, great leader, and when he was right, he was a Pro Bowl level player. But I do think that, you know, the reality is that the guy missed 20 games the last 3 years, and I just can't imagine that all of a sudden that he's going to get healthy. So from a moving on and moving forward and giving guys opportunity standpoint, Poles has done that with the Bears defensive line. We'll see if guys can step up.
Yeah, both of those things can be true, right? It can be true that they certainly have holes on their defensive line right now. That doesn't mean that he made mistakes by casting off all those other guys. Because as you can see, one's not healthy, one doesn't want to play, and one, like you said, just missed 20 games in the last 3 years. That's a lot of football to miss. And that it doesn't really turn around as you get older. You don't all of a sudden you don't get more healthy, right, as you get older. That trend kind of continues. And so I think it would have been a safe bet that Akeem would have missed 6-7 games again this year. And so, you know, again, they have holes there, but it doesn't mean that Poles was wrong for getting rid of those guys.
Who's your guy up front? Is it Jones, Angelo Blackson, Mario Edwards Jr., Lakeo London? Who's your guy? Give me someone, Herb, that it's going to be like Bears fans are going to be talking about come week 4 of that crew. Or you can go off the board, I guess, but I don't know where you could go.
Listen, on first and second down, Kyrus Tunga and Angelo Jackson have to be run stuffers. Like, they just have to be. And I think Kyrus Tunga is big enough and strong enough where he can kind of hold up in the gap. But I don't know. But him and Angelo Blackson, they're going to have to be studs on first and second down. Earn the right to rush the passer, right? They got to stop the run, earn the right to rush the passer. So I would focus on those two guys first in terms of somebody making plays in the backfield. I'm not excited about none of those guys.
I'm laughing because Cap has reappeared. He's just like mumbling back there. Is that a joke? They're going to contend for the number one pick, you lunatics. Hey, Kyrus Tunga. I like Kyrus Tunga. Dude plays with energy. Give me the presence of a Kyrus Tunga, the flowing hair, everything that he brings to the table. I'm in on Kyrus Tunga. Let's go. Somebody's going to make a play here. Lakeo London, Cap. The guy that I have no idea what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. We're looking. Bears fans, you know, listen, all you optimistic ones who check us out here, Wednesdays at 5, ton of training camp shows coming up. Listen, I know from when we started the show and when we just creeped right up to 2,000 subscribers. Thank you so much, by the way. Hit that subscribe button. I would not have imagined that we would gotten this far this fast, so thank you. And it's just going to
be a ton of fun this season, no matter what damn ass happens. But look, I see you all want some positivity, and I'm cool with that. There's no reason on July 20th to bury this team. Let's at least see them get smoked by the Niners in Week 1 and our field throw four picks before we go in on them. Like I'm gonna give you some time. Like, we got a new regime. I'm flusing it up. I see you, Ryan Poles. You're doing some quirky things. I don't know why we had to get rid of Soup. Didn't love that at all. But whatever. It's not gonna, you know, be the end of the world. Sometimes I don't need, like, that's not gonna be the reason why the Bears are successful or not successful. It's a little bizarre, but I'm here for some training camp positivity, if nothing else, this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time. Hope springs eternal right now. Everybody thinks they've got a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl. They don't, right? It's probably five teams that got a legitimate shot. The Bears certainly are not one of those five teams, but they can get some things in place, and I think they can surprise a lot of people. I think that they will establish the run game. I think that David Montgomery will be key, and I think that being able to bootleg off of those things will be good, and I think that we'll see some signs of life in training camp. You got to figure out who's going to throw the ball to, which one of that cluster of receivers is going to step up and be dependable at least. And so I think that, you know, right now is the time to look for optimism. This is the time to be like, okay, maybe they can do it. And like you said, if San Francisco rolls in here Week 1 and smokes them, then it's going to get dangerous because you got to go to Lambeau right after that. So now you're staring at 0-2. And then even worse than the 0-2 is the morale, because you got smoked by Francisco. That's a game they've got to at least compete and take deep into the war.
Yeah, I mean, if Trey Lance is running all over the field and throwing dimes into the end zone and Justin looks terrible.
Oh, man.
That and the Boo Birds are out and people are screaming at Lori Lightfoot that Soldier Field sucks. That would not be the way we need to start the season. But I don't think it's going to go that way. September 11th is going to be sweet. And by the way, if you missed our video from a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago, rather, where I walked around Soldier Field, you know, just if you can go and you can look at it and just see the beauty. When we saw beer pallets, looked amazing. We walked right up to the gate. We saw the columns. We saw George Halas, that amazing behemoth of a small, weird stadium that nobody wants to give any love to. But here at the Windy City Chicago Bears podcast, we still appreciate you, Soldier Field.
We do. We love Soldier Field, and we want it to be on the lake, not in Arlington Heights, which is where we'll be soon.
Yes. Hey, listen, hit that subscribe button so you'll know when shows are coming up. And of course, follow myself and Herb on Twitter at The Carm. And if you're not following Herb, you're just not doing things right. At Herb Howard 411. Let's go.
You guys got to be here. Camp. A lot of things going on, a lot of development stories. We'll do the regulars, but we'll also be popping in all the time. So make sure you're following. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the button so you can get the alerts when we do go live. Things break at camp. We may be like, hey, let's just go talk to our people real fast. And so you guys want to be a part of that and get all the information. So make sure you are subscribing, liking, commenting. Stay in tune with everything here at the Windy. We got a lot coming up for y'all during camp.
I'm super excited for camp, super excited for the season, super excited for the community. J.O.B. Smith, good to see you. Joseph, love you. Where goes one? Appreciate you jumping in a bunch today. David, I see you as well. Candace, you've been a regular. Appreciate you. Jabari, thank you. Hunter, you work here, so I'm not going to give you any love, and you're a 49ers fan, but thanks for the comment anyway. All right. I feel good about what's happening here. I feel good about the fact that Jason Peters is singing the praises of our guy, Justin Fields. I feel good about the way people are laying out what would be successful this year. I thank you to thank you to our guy, Sharp Clark, for his 16-part thread with the upside case for Justin Fields. It just made me feel so damn good, Sharp Clark. I love following you, my friend. You're on the case. Appreciate you. Herb, I'm glad we were able to battle through a minor technical issue that got you rolling. So this is
hey, it was good to be back. Shout out to you for the way you held it down last week. I hopped in the comments and just, you know, kind of participated in the conversation just from the comment side. And that was fun, man. I got to do that more often, just hop in the comments and shoot some comments. That was fun. But you held it down, man. I wasn't able to – whatever wasn't working, and I couldn't get in, and I couldn't watch. Stay in, and my sound was bad, but you were down, sir. Shout out to you. You must have been doing it for a while.
You get no blame. It's on our end. So hey, you get none of it. And I never want you back in the comments again. But that was I didn't know it was you last week, so it was super fun. I'm like, who is this dude? This guy's gonna be making great comment after great comment. So it was fun. All right, team. Hey, stay safe out there. We'll see you next week, Wednesdays at 5. And yeah, a lot of training camp shows coming up here. Bear down. Let's go. Stay positive. Let's see what Justin can do here at the start of training camp. A lot of stories are going to be populating with the offensive line, the wide receivers. Hey, defensively, going to be a lot of stuff here. But just remember,
I'm excited about Jaquan Brisker. He's probably the person I'm most excited about in camp. Guy likes to fly around, likes to make plays. So when the pads come on, I just want to see him flying around the field and kind of making plays. I want to see how he is in coverage, how he is coming downhill. I think he's going to be a really good football player for the Bears. I'm more confident in him even than I am in Kyler Gordon.
That's interesting because I'm confident in both of them, but those are like kind of outside of the quarterback. Those are two huge fun pieces to watch here, and maybe that just having a second quarterback provides a stability to the defense. By the way, if you're good, if Kyler Gordon, if those two guys have good seasons this year with what the Bears are doing up front, you might be talking about Pro Bowlers down the way when you get some actual real pressure coming. So
that's legit, man.
Yeah, Ryan Poles, you got a big job ahead of you. You know this, but we believe in you. At least we.
Carm, you and Cap, be safe out there on the boat. Have a good time.
Yeah, we're gonna go have some custard. All right, thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next week.
It's football. I think everyone here in that locker room has fun.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
It's hard, especially at this point, whenever, it's game week and we're still are kind of learning things. Quarterback position, we do have a lot of pressure and there's a lot of responsibility. And I'll own up to that each and every day.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good. You seem excited.
Trust does a good job of putting ownership on everybody on the offense and making sure everyone's accountable.